Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for hanging in there. Looking forward to your joining in the dialogue and discussion. You can do that by dialing 831-0917. 831-0917 gets you directly through to the microphone so that we can have dialogue and discussion with you. We're talking about today, find safety in the storm. We are sitting in the state of Florida. Some would call it on pins and needles, wondering what's going to happen next and how we're going to respond to this storm. But ladies and gentlemen, we're trying to encourage us today in the realization and the recognition that God is in control. We need to listen to our city officials, we need to listen to the state officials and the weather officials and all sides. Do all we can to prepare from the human perspective and making that preparation. Yet, ladies and gentlemen, as believers, we must look to the Lord for our ultimate safety. Perhaps you recall the event in the biblical text where Jesus' disciples were on a ship when a huge storm came. They were afraid. Dr. Phelps, tell us something about that biblical text where Jesus was on board. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, I like this text. The disciples are petrified. Jesus is on board the ship. And I want us to understand, whatever ship he's on board, we're okay. Dr. Phelps, talk with us about that.
In the book of Luke in the New Testament, chapter 8, verse 22, there's a story of a time of a storm with Jesus and his disciples. They were traveling on a ship, and they wanted to go to the other side of the lake, and so they launched forth. And as they sailed and traveled, there was a storm of wind. And I'm going to read Luke 8, verse 23. And as they sailed, he fell asleep. Jesus fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with the water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, "Master, Master, we perish." Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased. And there was a calm. And he said unto them, "Where is your faith?" And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, "What manner of man is this? For he commanded even the winds and the water, and they obeyed him." We have such stories as this in the New Testament, telling us how Jesus would show his authority over the storm. And the purpose, I believe, is that the disciples and we might know that Jesus has authority over the storm and all nature. This shows, as many of his miracles did, that he has authority over all things. And that will be true even during the future millennial kingdom, so that it's going to be a safe place for us to live.
Absolutely. In fact, Dr. Phelps, I like the corollary text of that in the Synoptic Gospels, found in Mark's Gospel, the 4th chapter, verses 35 through 41. And in that text, you'll find Jesus getting on the ship with his 12 disciples, and they go out to the midst of the sea is when the real problem took place, the midst of the storm. The midst of the sea, the storm comes. But, ladies and gentlemen, let me postulate a question for you. And Dr. Phelps, we can bound this about for the benefit of our listeners. If Jesus is God, and he is, if Jesus is all-knowing, and he is, if Jesus is sovereign, and he certainly is, then he surely knew that the storm would come. And if Jesus knew, and I don't say if in a question mark, since Jesus knew that a storm was going to come, because he is the orchestrator, the originator, and the controller of that storm, why would he put his 12 disciples on board that ship and enter into the ship and row out, go out to the center of the sea before the storm hit, where they would be seemingly helpless and hopeless? What would be his motive for doing that, for placing them in the midst of what they thought, the place where they felt they would surely die?
I believe one of the reasons, Dr. Youngblood, would be that they might learn that Jesus is in control of everything, that he is the one to whom we should look for our safety, for our place of rest, and have confidence that he will take care of us.
The end result, you're right. He wanted them to place their faith and trust in him. Ladies and gentlemen, many times we go through a problem, a difficulty, a issue, a storm. And we are in the midst of that storm for a test to ascertain. You see, we don't truly know ourselves. God does. And it's to ascertain, to determine whether we're going to faith God or faith man, whether we're going to place our faith and trust in him. In the 37th verse of that Mark 4 text, the scripture says, "And there arose a great storm," and it says, "a great storm of wind, and the water beat upon the ship, so that it was now full." And I usually like to look at the imagery of that, ladies and gentlemen. The winds are blowing, the waves are beating, the water's brimming, coming to the point where the ship is being filled with water. So as I asked the question a moment ago, let me postulate that question for you to entertain. Then why did Jesus put his disciples in the boat and go out to the midst of the sea? You see, he's God. He knew that was coming. He's God. He is the controller of it. Yes, he did. But perhaps he wanted to teach them faith in Jesus, to faith Jesus.
One of the things they asked him, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?"
they said, "Lord, you're sleeping. Aren't you concerned about us? Don't you know that we could die? Aren't you concerned about our health and safety and well-being?" And perhaps, ladies and gentlemen, you've asked that before. Perhaps you've gone through a storm of life and difficulty, and you've asked, "Well, Lord, don't you care? Aren't you interested? Aren't you concerned in what I'm doing, whether or not I survive?" And that's the question that they asked Jesus. And Jesus told them, "You have little faith. Oh, you have little faith." And then he says, "Peace, be still." Dr. Phelps.
I noticed in that same story in Mark that there was a great storm, but when Jesus dealt with it, there was a great calm.
Absolutely. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go with your question or comment, please.
Hey, Pastor. I think it's important to understand and remember that Jesus doesn't start us off in the storm, the great storm. He started on the ground, and then he went out a little further in a boat, and then eventually he wound up in the middle of the lake. So we need to remember that he doesn't start us off in those great storms.
Absolutely. I use the imagery, and it's a good comment and a good insight on that. I use the illustration a lot of times when you're teaching a child to swim. You start him out in the shallow water, walk out into the deeper water and deeper water, and release him into deeper water to allow him to be tested as to what he's learned and what he can do. And I image that as an illustration of what Jesus was doing. He started out on the shore. Those disciples had watched him in his miracle-working power. They knew his authority and his power. But nevertheless, in the midst of the storm, he was asleep. And they said, "Don't you care? Aren't you concerned?" They're saying, "Why in the world are you sleeping when we're in the midst of the storm?" But it's Jesus testing them. As you have said, he launched them out, carried them from the shore to the storm. And many times in our lives, we start from the shore, wind up in a storm, sometimes that we've created ourselves. But in the midst of the storm, he's wanting to elicit from us our faith and our trust and our confidence in him. In fact, in the 38th verse of that text in Mark's Gospel, the 4th chapter, "And he," Jesus, "was asleep on a pillow." Here's Jesus sleeping in the midst of the storm. Does that mean that he didn't care? Absolutely not. And right now, as we're on the very verge of seeing something that could be cataclysmic for the entire state of Florida, many perhaps would be questioning today, "God, don't you care? Aren't you concerned?" In fact, as I was stating a little early in the broadcast, listening to some of the people in South Florida when they were interviewed on the early morning news, asking them in relationship to what are they expecting, what are they experiencing. Some were petrified, talking about, "I've just moved here, I'm not familiar with Florida, and I don't know that I want to stay." And many times we have that philosophy and feeling that somehow, some way, the Lord is not concerned. Just as one of our callers talked about, I believe God is wanting to teach us to faith him and trust him. I believe that's what 9/11 was about. I believe that every year, and you see the raging forest fires and the on the left coast out in California, I believe God's saying, look up, listen up, I'm in control. I believe, as our previous caller said also, we're in the last days. In the last days, I believe we're going to see an intensification of the power of God being revealed that will call for our attention to look to him and recognize that he is the one that's in control and not man. Verse 39, the scripture says in that text, and he, speaking of Jesus, arose, that is, he stood up and rebuked the wind, and the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go with your question or comment, please.
Yeah, good morning. Good afternoon, Brother Phelps and Brother Youngblood. We've all had storms. I'm just curious. I heard you say, Brother Youngblood, about you were going blind or you were told you were going to go blind. Can you relate that briefly? And if you were partially blind or how you felt that with that storm? And I have one other comment.
Well, I'm thankful that you mentioned that. I have not given wide attention to that. Many people are not aware of that. But in 1978, the ophthalmologist said that I was going blind. He said I was losing the sight in one eye, and he said what's called sympathy eye, that would not be long, that I would lose sight in both eyes. I don't mind telling anybody. At that moment, I was petrified. Lord, what do I do? How do I respond? He sent me to Piedmont Eye Clinic in Atlanta. They did all kind of excruciating exams on my eyes and said even though the laser surgery had just gone into effect, that was not precise as it is today, they said they could not use it because it was certainly but scar tissue would cause the blindness more rapidly. Then I was sent to the Miami Eye Clinic with Dr. Gass, that is the writer of the ophthalmological textbooks, the genius in that field. And this was in 1978. And prior to going there for that final decision, I simply prayed. And I said, Lord, you know, if you want me blind, I'll still preach even though I'm blind. But I would sure like my eyesight. When I got through with that test after 2 days in Miami with the Miami Eye Clinic there at the Miami University, the physician sat down and looked at me and said, what's your trouble? And I said, well, Doc, I thought you could tell me. And he said, as far as I'm concerned, when you're 75 years old, and I've passed that, but anyway, when you're 75 years old, you should be able to read as well as you do now. And the only thing that took place there, and I don't minusculize it, was the fact that it was my simple prayer, Lord, I'll still do what you've called me to do, even though I do it, have to do it, might have to do it blind. It was God's miracle in restoring the eyesight. That physician, that ophthalmologist, could not see any problem, though there was massive, major problems for about 6 months ongoing prior to that. But it was a total miracle of healing that God provided. And I think that many times we overlook the fact that God is in control. And whatever storm we're going through, God controls that storm. I believe you had another question.
Yeah, well, another couple comments real quick. What's her name in the wheelchair, the paraplegic, Johnny Erickson Tata?
Yes.
She wasn't healed, and yet she's making a tremendous statement on to folks in spite of her severe testings. But... well, that should be it. Thank you for sharing that again. God bless.
Thank you so much, and God bless you for your call. Thank you for that. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the storm, and we're faced with the potentiality of a major cataclysmic event here in the state of Florida. And I pray that God protects us, and I believe that he will to the degree and to the extent that we want to faith him. I announced a little bit earlier that the text message that I received was that our Mayor Lenny Curry, just issued an executive order for mandatory prayer. And I believe, and I've not verified that, and you can do so and call and let me know if you find it to be factual or not factual, but whether it was relevant and real from his standpoint, I don't know. But if he did that, I'm thankful, because that is what we need to do for the next several days, is simply seek God and ask God to deliver us and to protect us. Jesus was on board in that ship. In Mark's Gospel, the 4th chapter, they turned to Jesus, and Jesus stilled the winds and calmed the waves. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's okay to be a Christian and yet to be afraid in the storm. Yet Jesus is our source of safety and protection. Dr. Phelps, what else do we need to talk about in relationship to the storm and what our listeners need to understand biblically that will give them calmness in the midst of the storm?
There's another story in the New Testament found in the book of Acts. Paul was on his way to Rome.
Yes.
And there came a storm there in the Great Sea, as it was called in those days. And it arose. It was tempestuous. It was called by Euroclydon. And it would be the same thing as a hurricane today. So they faced a hurricane while they were aboard ship. And they couldn't control it. They were unable to drive the ship in the right direction. And they ran aground. And they got some things to help the mariners, sailors, then were able to free the ship and began to be driven again or tossed about. And they lightened the ship even. And after 3 days, they just simply were drifting. And many days they were out in on the sea, and it was very tempestuous, like a hurricane. But finally, the Apostle Paul came and said, "Sirs, you should have listened to what I was telling you."
Yeah, that's right.
He said, "You should have listened to me when you loosed from the island of Crete, and you wouldn't have all this loss and this problem that we have." But he says, "The Lord has stood by me, and the God I serve has told me that everything is going to be all right, that we are going to be saved. And here are the words." And it says, "And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whom I serve and whose I am, saying, 'Fear not, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee.'" Here is a statement of confidence that the Lord was going to do what he said. He was going to protect them and keep them alive. Verse 25, book of Acts 27. "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." And that was the faith that he had. Even in the midst of a storm, we can trust the Lord. And God gives us wonderful promises of his protection.
Absolutely. One of the things I find in that text, Dr. Phelps, and I've studied it many times, and the scripture calls it a Euroclydon. And one theologian that I have read behind in years gone by said it's kind of what you'd call a nor'easter today. And that nor'easter was whipping up a storm. And the Apostle Paul, and this is the point I want us to make, Dr. Phelps, the Apostle Paul said to the centurion that I don't think that we ought to sail. They listened to the ship owner, the master of the ship, rather than the man of God. And here's the preacher, if you will, Paul, saying don't do it. They refused to listen and disobeyed what he was saying to them from the word of God, from God's speaking to him, and said, don't. But even in the midst of that, when all seemed to be lost, he then was able to give them words of encouragement. Just as Paul had warned them that they faced a huge storm in the sea, verse 13 and 14 of that text, the Bible tells us that all hope was gone in that text in verses 18 through 20. But when it seemed to be hopeless, and everything's gone. As you said, Dr. Phelps, Paul stood up in the ship and challenged them to be of good cheer, challenged them to simply faith God. And ladies and gentlemen, that's what I challenge you to do today. It looks like it'll be a long wait determining exactly where the storm is going, and we'll not know, according to the weather forecasters, fully the direction and the course it will take. But we do know in our entire state, the state of Florida, we will have inundation with water, high winds, and possible harm and danger. But just as Jesus told his disciples in Mark's Gospel, the 4th chapter, "O ye of little faith." So let me challenge us to faith God. Dr. Phelps, what else can we share in relationship to being able to faith God in the midst of the storm and what God would have us to do.
One of the things I appreciate about the Old Testament, especially the Psalms, is that we are encouraged in our faith to trust in Him. In Psalm 91, we read, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust." And in every situation, then we can trust in Him. And so we might use the words of the songwriter, William Cushing, who wrote these words, "Under His wings I am safely abiding. Though the night deepens and tempests are wild, still I can trust Him. I know He will keep me. He has redeemed me, and I'm His child." And the refrain goes, under His wings, who from His love can sever? Under His wings my soul shall abide, safely abide forever."
Amen. That's a wonderful, well-worded song. In fact, by the way, just another thought in reading the words from that hymn, that old song, that's one of the things that I miss seeing so much today in what's happening in modern Christianity. They've gotten away from the old songs that have deep, abiding meaning in the words of them. Dr. Phelps, in the little book of Nahum, one of the minor prophets, Nahum chapter 1 and verse 7, the scripture tells us, "The Lord is good, a stronghold of the day of trouble. He knoweth them that trust in Him." And that's what he was doing, ladies and gentlemen, in the fourth chapter of Mark that I've talked about in several places in this broadcast today, where Jesus says to his disciples in that fourth chapter, in the 40th verse, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" He didn't say you have little faith. How is it that you have no faith? The point being, even with Jesus on that ship, Jesus aboard, Jesus with them, Jesus sailing with them, they still had not the faith to believe. They had watched Jesus heal the sick. They had seen Him raise the dead. They had watched Him walk on water. They had seen Him cast out the demons. And me, ladies and gentlemen, even as believers, our faith can be weak in the midst of a storm. So I'm challenging you, wanting to encourage you today, to place your faith and trust in the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Jesus says to them, that why is your faith so lacking, if you will? Then in that 41st verse, the scripture says, "They feared exceedingly." That would mean they were trembly, shaky, fearful of what He said, but He caused them to have awe. They were rebuked in their lack of faith. Jesus challenged them to greater faith, and they were embarrassed, cowered, if you please, before Him, and expressed reverence and respect and submission and surrender to Jesus. So why worry in the midst of the storm? If you're in the storm with Jesus, there's no greater safety, security, and protection. Dr. Phelps, we've got a couple of 2 or 3 minutes left in our broadcast. Tell us something else that our listeners would be encouraged by in relationship to biblical truth in the midst of a storm.
Yes, what you said is so true. We should follow the admonition, and I heard someone say that why worry when you can trust?
That's right.
Or why worry when you can pray? The book of Philippians tells us that we should pray about everything. And so one of the things I would suggest that we could do to help us to increase our faith would be to read some scriptures. For example, Psalm 91 or Psalm 32. They tell us that we can place our trust and our faith in the Most High God, and He's the Almighty. He is able. He is in control of all things. I like the song that's written by Vernon Charlesworth several years ago, who wrote a song saying, "The Lord's our rock, in Him we hide. The Lord's our rock, in Him we hide, a shelter in the time of storm, secure, whatever ill betide, a shelter in the time of storm." And the refrain goes, "Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in a time of storm." And one of the verses also goes like this: the raging storms may round us beat, a shelter in the time of storm. We'll never leave our safe retreat, a shelter in the time of storm. So may we find in the Lord by looking into the scriptures and having the knowledge that God is fully in control. May we know that the Lord is our shelter in a time of storm.
Absolutely. The words of that song so wonderfully biblical and what the scripture says. In fact, in Psalms 89, verse 8 and 9, O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee? Thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. Amen. And that's exactly what I'm encouraging you to do, ladies and gentlemen. And going back again to, one of my favorite texts about the storm in the Mark's Gospel, the 4th chapter, verse 41, the scripture says, and they feared exceedingly, that is, they had awe, reverence, if you call it this, as a result of seeing the power of God through Jesus Christ in the storm. They worshiped him. They fell down before him. And then we see in verse 41, the latter portion, and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? They not only worship Jesus, they witness to others about Jesus. So, ladies and gentlemen, let me encourage you to do this. Be in church, worship the Lord Jesus Christ, be in the services, and most of all, pray. Seek the face of God. Ask God to give us wisdom and strength even in the midst of the storm. Dr. Phelps, we've got about a minute on the broadcast. Would you wrap up our broadcast today with some points of scripture and a challenge to our listeners that they might be encouraged and have faith even in the midst of the storm?
The Bible teaches us that we can pray about everything. And so I would suggest that you and I talk to the Lord about this problem that faces us. Let's talk to the Lord about the storm. And God has given us many promises throughout the scriptures that we can pray and talk with him. I'm going to turn to the book of Philippians and read those verses that I referred to a moment ago. And it reads like this: be careful for nothing. And I put my words in there, if I may. Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today. Be safe in the storm. Look up. Lift up your heads, for our redemption draweth nigh.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.